Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be speaking to Callum Devine. Himself and his navigator, Noel Sullivan, have won five in a row, record equaling Rally of the Lakes. That happened last weekend. Next up is a run on the Donegal International, where they're looking for four in a row. We'll be hearing from the Derry driver real soon on the programme. Plus, we'll be hearing from Burt native Mark Coyle, who of course this year moved to Coleraine, and it culminated in winning the Irish Senior Cup last week. They finished second in the league, and there's European football next season for the Donegal man. We'll be getting the thoughts of Mark later on in the show as well. But it's with football we start. Finn Harps and Derry City will both play their third game in 7 days, tomorrow night, Friday. Harps are looking to build on that victory against Bray on Monday night. The Balbafay side sit 8th in the table and will want to avoid being leapfrogged in the standings by 9th place Kerry, who they meet tomorrow evening in Ballybuffet. As for Derry City, they face a trip to Louth to play Drogheda United. The Candy Stripes are currently 5th in the table after Monday's draw with Galway. So let's look ahead to those games. I'm joined now in the programme by former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen. You're welcome back to the airwaves of Highland, Gavin. A very good evening to you.
Hi, Oisin. Good evening. How's things?
Not too bad at all, Gavin. Listen, as always, it's busy this time of year, particularly on the soccer front. We've had, a handful of games in the Premier Division and the First Division over the last week or so. Actually, 3 games in 7 days for most clubs in the League of Ireland. Harps in action on Friday night with Kerry coming to town. We'll talk about Kerry in a moment. But on Monday, Harps, of course, had that victory against Bray Wanderers, just a second one in 12 games. Would you see that as a timely one with Kerry coming to town now tomorrow night, Gavin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a much-needed one. Van Harps were in a bad run of results, so they were. And they were close games in a lot of them, but they were coming out the wrong end. They were conceding goals, sloppy enough goals, and they haven't been scoring a lot. But Monday's result was massive because with Kerry and Treaty both winning, there was a massive chance of them dropping further and dropping adrift of the rest of the pack. So it was much needed and I think by all accounts much deserved on Monday night to get that one, you know.
Yeah, it was deserved, and some of their big players stepping up, I suppose, in particular Josh Collin with a man of the match performance.
Yeah, he seems to be doing very well. He's one of the prospects of there, along with Gavin McAteer and Corey Sheridan, and apparently put on a really good defensive display along with Joel Bradley Walsh on Monday night, especially with like Connor Turris not available. He's a talisman and probably their best player this season. So the fact that them guys stood up and been counted and had to defend a lead and done it well, it stands well for them.
Yeah, it does surely. Kerry obviously now coming on Friday night, but they're coming into the game having beat Cork City in the Munster Derby. So very much similar to Harps, they're coming off the back of a one, but that was a monumental, a huge one for Kerry against Cork the last day, so it was.
Yeah, massive. Maybe it goes as far as to say it's probably one of the biggest victories in their history as a club. Huge confidence boost for them. A lot of people would have said Cork were going to run away with this league. Over the last few weeks, they've dropped a few points, and obviously UCD have hauled them in. So maybe Cork aren't just at the races. Maybe they have a few injuries. I'm not too sure, but taking nothing away from Kerry, that's a massive 3 points, and I think they had somebody sent off as well. So they finished the game with 10 men, so they'll be coming to Fun Park with a lot of confidence. And there's a lot of stake because if they were able to beat Fun Harps on Friday night, they would leapfrog them on the table and look again. Looking up then from in the bottom two position isn't a great sign for Harps going forward.
Yeah, but Harps have had solid results against Kerry and Ballybuffet. I know when they went down there they suffered defeats, but I don't think they've lost in recent games to the Munster side in Ballybuffet, which may stand to them.
Yeah, that definitely will. Look, we all expect and hope that Harps won, get the 3 points. It's a strain. The league sort of panning out like the way it has the last few years for Fun Harps, that every game's really, really tough. Nothing's given to you in the first division. No, you're losing games with the odd goal. They're obviously well enough documented that they're not scoring a lot of goals, and Kevin has said that the summer transfer window will be looking to bring in a striker. You know, so it's very, very important that Harps get results at home in this league against teams like Kerry. Very, very important.
Yeah, and Kerry have never actually won a tie in the league in Balbofay, just to let you know, since 2023. I was doing a bit of looking up there, but listen, they're in the bottom three, so they are, Gavin, all right? But when you look at the way things are panning out, the Cove Ramblers are in that fifth spot, so they are on 19 points. Yep. Harps are just 5 adrift. There's still a long way to go in the league here.
Yeah, a couple of results, a couple of good ones in a row, and you're right back in the mix for playoffs. And that's the way it's been for Harps over the last 3 years. You know, they've had poor runs in the league, and then they've put a run together, and they've got right up close to it, and then they sort of falter towards the end of the season again. So you'd like to think a couple of results in a row would be huge for them, and they would push them right up, and they'll lift the confidence of the players as well.
Yeah, and the games to come after Kerry are Treaty, Longford, and obviously Cork. Cork is away from home. But if you do get a bounce again on Friday, you could go into that series of matches with a lot of confidence, particularly against Treaty and Longford, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the teams in around Harps at the minute, and they're the teams that Kevin will be looking to get 3 points off. And there's no reason why they can't. Like I say, take a confidence boost out of a good Bray team at the weekend, and then take that through to Kerry this weekend, get another result. There's no reason why they can't win 2 or 3 in a row and be right back in the mix.
Yeah. So Jeremy Doherty will have live updates on Friday night from Finn Park, 7:45 kickoff, Finn Harps against Kerry FC. As for the other games on Friday, Athlone play Treaty, Bray Wanderers take on Cove Ramblers, Wexford FC are hosting Longford Town, and the big game is involving the top two. Second on goal difference are Cork City. They've had 2 defeats in a row, and they are playing host to the new leaders, UCD. Willie O'Connor, a man you know very, very well, Gavin, of course, is in charge of UCD, and they go into that game 8 matches unbeaten. UCD in a good place at the moment, do you feel?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if they're up challenging Cork near the top, William will be very happy. Obviously, they've a different sort of set up as a club at UCD. They're all about developing players, and they've all students on their team. So, look, he'll be coaching them and enjoy working with them lads. They'll be like sponges in terms of wanting to get better and wanting to improve and wanting to be professional footballers, a lot of them. So look, they're doing really well. They play a lovely brand of football. They play it properly. They play it in the ground, and they're a good team to watch. And as the pitches get better during the season, like they will improve as well. So I'd say he's very, very, very happy where they're at the minute.
Let's move into the Premier Division. Derry City on the road at Drogheda United on Friday night. If you look at the last, 5 games, they've drawn 3 and won 2. Have they steadied the ship enough after a very, very shaky start, Gavin?
Possibly. Derry have a habit of going behind and leaving themselves a mountain to climb in a lot of games. This season, they've conceded the first goal, the first 2 goals, and they've finished the games quite strong. It was the Galway game at the week on Monday was probably a really good result in the end up, but at the same time, probably very disappointing for Derry not to be taking 3 points from before that game. So, look, they still need to be picking up 3 points. They're unbeaten in 5, but three of them have been draws. Again, the Premier Division is unforgiving. Shamrock Rovers are looking very, very good at the minute. And Derry, they've set out their target at the end of the season to be challenging for that league. So they really need to put a run of 4 or 5 probably victories in a row to get pushed right up there again. And they're desperate for that.
Yeah, they are desperate for it. And if we look at the games that's to come for them as well, they're Waterford away. Then they've 2 big, huge matches, Pats and Shales on the horizon. They'll be coming to the Find Insurance Celtic Park. So, and I know things aren't ideal at the moment around Derry, with playing not in their traditional home off the Brandywell, the likes of James McLean injured. They've had a few injuries, and they brought in a lot of players, so they did. Towards the start of the season, you mentioned about Kevin McHugh looking about a striker come the transfer window. Are Derry going to maybe add to their personnel, do you feel, if they are going to start to improve as the weeks go on through the summer?
Well, I think these clubs like Derry, every transfer window is important. You know, they obviously brought in a lot of players and raised the expectations massively during the during the winter break there. So I would expect if Derry are bringing players in, they'll probably move players on as well that aren't in their plans. But say with the injuries they've had, with the players they've out, they're probably squads a wee bit stretched at times, but you definitely expect them to be looking for players and then looking to improve all the time.
Yeah. The other games, Bohemians against Dundalk, that's fourth hosting third at Oriel Park. The leaders are Shamrock Rovers, who are 3 points clear of St Pat's. Rovers go to Galway on Friday night. St Pat's have a home tie at Richmond Park against Waterford, so it's second versus tenth. Second versus a bottom side there at the moment. And Shelburne against Sligo Rovers at Tulka Park. This could be an interesting game for Sligo, who, after a very, very shaky start at the start of the season as well, I suppose over recent weeks, bar the blip against Drogheda, picked up some very impressive results with ones against the likes of Bohemians, Waterford and Dundalk, and they drew with Derry City and drew with Pats last time as well. There's a handful of Donegal men involved in that. The likes of Shane Blaney, of course, played a full 90 minutes, I think, for the first time the last day against Pats. So Sligo will go into that game into Dublin thinking they can get something out of it.
Yeah, I think most teams in the Premier Division week in, week out are going into games with the confidence that they can get a result, because there's so much quality in each of the teams and each of the squads that the belief's there. They're all professional, they're all full-time clubs. So anybody can beat anybody in that league. And Sligo, again, Sligo got a bit of consistency and a bit of a run, although they could move up the table very easily as well.
Yeah, and I suppose with the teams around them, if they do drop points, Sligo could make a jump from ninth right up to maybe sixth in the table, depending on how the results go. But that's a big game for Sligo on Friday night as well. Looking at the action more locally, I suppose, Gavin, from your own point of view, Cockhill Celtic manager, there's a lot of change on the horizon with the third tier of the League of Ireland coming in, but you've a number of domestic things to sort out. First of all, the box has been ticked with the Premier League title, so it has any shown, but you've a couple of cup games coming up, finals in particular. The first of those, McGinn Park on Saturday against Cairn FC. What sort of challenge are you expecting from Cairn in this League Cup decider at the weekend?
Yeah, look, it's a good final to be involved in. Any final is a good final. We've been lucky since we went back to Inishowen. We've qualified for every final of every domestic competition we've been in. So, like, again, we're going on the McGinn on Saturday, confident and believing in ourselves. But Cairn done a real good test. They've given us two real good games in the league this year, 1-0 down there and 2-0 in Cockhull. They really put it up to us, and we haven't had an easy game with Cairn Donagh at all since we went back in the National League. Good players, good young players, worked really hard for each other, and they'll be relishing it. They'll be coming, and it's a big final for them as well. They've already got the Ulster Junior Cup final this season. We're unlucky against Kilrum, apparently done very well. So they'll be coming with confidence and giving it a right go, and it'll be tough. Like, we were expecting a real tight battle and a real tough game on Saturday as well.
Yeah, and then the following Saturday, you have another cup final against Buncrannan. I know Buncrannan won the league last year, and they haven't sort of reached the heights of what they did the previous season. But it's a derby game, and there's no doubt that is going to be a really, really tough fixture for you as well.
Yeah, very similar to the Cairn Donagh as well. Like, I say, it's a derby. It's a great derby to be involved in the last 3 years. The games have been really high octane, big crowds at them, sparking interest locally, which is great. Tough games. There'll be no quarter given. But Buncrana, again, had a brilliant season last season. Have dipped a bit in the league this year, but they've still done well in the cup competitions. And again, to finish out the domestic season, that's a really, really big game for everybody to be involved in. And look, again, we're looking after the Cairn Donagh one first. Our full focus is that, and then after that's over, we'll start looking at the Buncrana game. But again, we expect big crowds to be at both games. The real curtain raiser for the National League and McGinn and games together are great to be involved in, and we've been very lucky to be involved in a lot of them over the last few years, and long may that continue as well.
Yeah, just one other note. I know I'm looking ahead here and you're trying to focus on what's coming up this weekend. FEI Junior Cup, there's a match to take place between a couple of Dublin sides. You're going to meet the winners in the next stage of the national competition of it. Do you have aspirations, Gavin, to do a repeat in the Junior Cup? Because you, of course, won that a couple of seasons ago. Is there a hope that you can do it before you make a step up to the third tier?
Oh, absolutely. Look, every competition we enter, we've aspirations to do well and get the latter stages and win, and this is no different. Obviously, we've enjoyed great success in intermediate cups and junior cups over the last few years, and the players love that, the supporters love that, and we want that again. We're on round four at the minute. We're waiting for the winners of Kilmore Celtic and Galway FC from Dublin, who we play at home probably in 2 weeks' time, I think, after the weekend after the Buncrana final. So we'll be looking forward to that. And if we're lucky enough to get through that, I think we've another home tie then in the fifth round. So that's our full focus is on these cup finals first, and then once they're over, we look at the Junior Cup. But our intentions are, and obviously to keep staying in that cup over the summer break, and then going into the third tier, then be still in that cup in the latter stages. The finals due around October time of that competition. So we would like to be in it, and it'd be nice to be still in it when we're going to the third tier, you know.
Yeah. All right, Gavin. Listen, I appreciate you taking time out this evening to talk to us here on the Score program tonight. And as always, enjoy the football at the weekend. Good luck at the weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks very much, Ashton. Thank you.
And that game that me and Gavin just spoke about there, the Club and Church League Cup final at McGinn Park, is 4 o'clock this coming Saturday afternoon as Coghill take on Carndonagh. One other standout tie down in any show, and there's a Division 1-2 playoff taking place on Sunday. Coghill Reserves up against Clonmany Reserves. The winner there will be playing Division football next season. It's semi-final Sunday in the Brian McCormick Sports and Leisure Cup. There's a doubleheader at Ballyar at Diamond Park this coming Sunday afternoon. The first game up is Letterkenny Rovers against Donegal Town at 1 o'clock, and that's followed by a 4 o'clock kickoff for Kilmacrenan Celtic against Kildrum Tigers. The Tigers reached the last four with victory over Dromahaugh last night, where they won by a goal to nil. Also on Sunday, Bunnaggy United are playing Cadju Rovers in the Seoul Premier Division clash. While at underage level, there's a couple of teams from the Northwest involved in All-Ireland finals this weekend. The SFAI National Under-15 Trophy Final at Jackson Park in Dublin sees Elistrin from Donegal up against Westport United from Mayo. And the Under-16 girls of Glenelg Colts from Inishowen are involved in the All-Ireland Cup Final at Wayside Celtic on Sunday. It starts at 4 o'clock, and there's Cork opposition in the form of Middleton FC there for Glenelg. So the best of luck to the Donegal teams that are involved in underage All-Ireland finals this coming Sunday. So then, time for a commercial break here in the Score programme. You can join us for more after these, including a catch-up with Mark Coyle on the latest success for Coleraine.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme. Burton native Mark Coyle ended his first campaign with Coleraine FC by helping them lift the Irish Cup for the first time since 2018 last weekend. Coyle joined Coleraine in January this year, having departed Shelburne, a team which he captained to the league Premier Division title in 2024. He was key in the Bansiders 3-2-1 over Dungannon last weekend, and also played a vital role in aiding Coleraine to the runners-up spot in the Premiership. All this means European football has been guaranteed for Coleraine next season. Well, Mark has been telling Highland's Chris Ashmore that it's been a solid start in his short time with the club.
I think when I first joined the club and signed for him in January, chatting to the manager, Rory, obviously that was the club's aspirations, and that's a major part of why I joined. And to get that done then, and to help the team get there, we've been on a serious run of form since I joined, really. I've been lucky to join a good team and a good setup. So to get the cherry on top, you could say, with the Irish Cup on Saturday past there. No, look, it's been great.
Yeah, now of course you were captain with Shells. They won their first league title in 18 years. So it was a big decision for you to move to Coleraine.
Yeah, look, it was a big decision. There's no denying that. Shells was a huge part of my life. I owe them a lot as well, and for what they've done for my career. So yeah, it was a huge decision, but I felt the timing was right, and especially just with chatting to the Rory, that was a huge part of it. I wanted to play for a manager that believed in me again, and you know, where you felt valued, and that was a massive part in it for me, and moving back home, you know, with family here and obviously a girlfriend and all that. So all that played a huge part in my decision. And look, I am grateful now and thankful. Obviously, at the minute, it's looking good. But I'm still excited now for what next year holds as well, because we have another huge year, and as you said there, we have Europe now in July, and that's another huge step for us as a club, and hopefully that we can do something good there as well.
Now, you joined Coleraine in January, so it was really mid-season. Did you have any sort of concerns about how quickly you'd get established in the team, or was there much of an adjustment period?
Yeah, there was actually. It was probably a bit surprising. I do feel it was tough at the start, I would say. But I think how the coaching staff dealt with me there, and the players as well, how they all welcomed me in straight away, I felt at home. And it took me, I'd say, a couple of weeks to get up to speed of things again. But for me, once I got in then and playing now, I felt great. There's definitely a difference, but it was great.
And, you know, people look at the League of Ireland and the Irish League. As a player, what are the main differences that you have found?
I would say that the Northern Ireland League, it can be a bit more physical. And I think that comes down to maybe teams being part-time. There's only four teams in the North, obviously, that are full-time. Whereas in the Irish League in the South, it's all 10 teams are full-time and professional. So they've obviously got a lot more time on the training ground where, you know, there are different setups and teams are a bit more set up, I would say. The game can be a bit more out of control at times in the North. But it's in a good way. You know, it brings its own challenges. And it definitely took me a while to bed in and adjust to it. But when you get that swing into the swing of it, and look, we've got a great team, which I'm lucky, and that's played a massive part in me bedding in so quick. I'm lucky they've joined great players and a great staff that made it a lot easier.
And you've joined a Coleraine side that there's investment there, that there's a feeling that the club is really going places. And with Shells, you played in the Conference League, and now you've got European football to look forward to again. So that whole experience of European football, you know, it's something that a lot of Irish players, a lot of League of Ireland players or Irish League players may never have sampled. So it's an important part of your career.
Yeah, it's massive. For us, yeah, you said it, like as a club, it was obviously spoke about when I was joining that was the aspirations for the club, the owner and the staff as a whole. They want to be at the top of Irish football in the North, and they're not shy in saying that. So for us, you know, it was a huge part of getting there, and we're delighted we got there. And now it's about embracing that challenge. And yeah, there's going to be players that haven't experienced it, but that's where the lads that the likes of myself that have experienced it before, you know, have to step up and help out. Look, obviously the management that are there have tasted it before with Derry, so there's a lot of experience there. But yeah, look, it's going to bring its own challenges, but it's an exciting place to be in. And as I said, as a club and as a player, that it's them stages that you want to be playing at.
Now, for Rory Higgins, he's only the second manager to lead a side on either side of the border to a cup win like the FAI Cup or the IFA Cup. So for him, you know, having left Derry, it was a new challenge and it's all worked out really well. Would you have known him much before from your Finn Harps days?
Yeah, I would have known of him. More so probably from when I was at Shelburne, obviously playing against him, and he was the manager at the time at Derry when we were both sort of going for the league that year. So we would have had a couple of run-ins, and I obviously know from playing against his teams the way he liked to play. But in terms of actually knowing him, no, I wouldn't have known him too well. But I always heard good things of anybody that's played with him. And for me, that was, again, another huge part of joining. So now, look, for me, he's been top class, and I can see why he's brought success where he's went, because he also had good times when he was at Dundalk as a coach. Obviously, as a player, we all know he was decorated then too. So, look, he's a winner by all accounts. So, for me, it's been great since I've joined.
And turning to the league itself, Larne champions, third time in four seasons. The hope, no doubt, for you will be next season that it can be perhaps Kilrain's time to win that title?
Yeah, look, it's as I said, it's a huge ambition for us as a group of players and as a club. I think next year's the centenarian year of Kilrain, so look, there'll be no better year for us to go and do it. I can't remember exactly how many years it's been since they've won it, and they've only won it once. So for us as a group of players, it brings pressure, but it's where you want to be. And I think by all accounts, how we finished this year, and you know, we ran Laren close, very close, considering the gap that was there mid-season, you'd say. So for us, we know we've got the quality and the know-how to do it, but it's another thing going out and doing there, going out and actually doing it. So for us now, it's just about focusing firstly on Europe, as I said, and then next year, yes, our aspirations are to go and win the league. We know it's not going to be easy. There's a number of top teams there. You look at Glentoran as well. They've invested heavily. Linfield are notorious for winning leagues there. And obviously, Laren again. They've been the people leading the way the last couple of years. As you said, they're 3-4. So it, by no means it will be easy, but it's a challenge we're looking forward to.
Now, you had two spells at Harps, also briefly with Coghill. You played with Shelburne. So at the weekend, after Kilrain have played their games, no doubt you're always glancing at the scorelines to see how Shells and Harps and Coghill get on?
Yeah, of course. Look, my younger brother's part of the Finn Harps first team as well. He was injured there for a long time now, but hopefully he's on his way back. And now, by all accounts, I keep an eye out 100%. I have a number of friends that play for all them teams, so I'd always keep an eye out, but especially probably on the Finn Harps results, because as I said, my younger brother's a part of the team, and I suppose growing up, and they gave me the platform for the career I've went on to have so far. So it's always a special place, and as a Donegal lad, you're always going to support or follow your local team.
And looking at the Premier Division, Derry have been a little bit inconsistent, to say the least, so far, but it's been a strange league. I think Bohemians have gone 7 or 8 games without a win, and they're still right up near the top. So as things stand, who would you fancy in the Premier Division?
Yeah, for me, it would have to be probably Shamrock Rovers. Look, I think, as you said there, it's been a strange enough season so far, but that's because of the quality that throughout the league now, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day, so you have to be at it week in, week out. And I just think with the know-how and the quality of players going forward that Shamrock Rovers have, I feel that they'll have enough to do it. And if anybody does get above them, then they're deserved winners. Look, there's a number of teams that probably at the start of the year you would have tipped. Look, St. Pat's and Bowes still have a right chance. And I think I would have thought at the start of the year Shelburne and Derry had the quality within the group to go and do that. It might be a stretch too far now to go and win the league, but I have no doubt now that you can see that both of them are starting to turn their form a wee bit, and I feel that they'll be right back in there anyway for European. If not, if they could go and win it, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Indeed. And finally, Mark, what's the time frame now? Are you going to get much time off? When does the whole pre-season training start? And do you have a European fixture early on in the summer, or has that been established yet?
Yeah, because we won the Cup, I think we go straight into the second round of the Conference League. So in that sense, we're a bit, you get maybe 2 weeks extra, but before our first game, but no way. I'd say I think we have 5 weeks, 5 to 6, just under 6 weeks off, and we'll be back in then. But you know how it is now with the way things are set up. You know, you have to be doing your own bits, probably in a couple of weeks' time, to make sure that you're even fit for pre-season. Now that's the way it is. There's no real time off, but I'm definitely enjoying this week and next week, and hopefully get a few rounds of golf in or whatever it may be, and make sure that I get some downtime.
Well, thanks for joining us on the programme. Congratulations once again, Mark. And we look forward to seeing how you progress and how Kilrain get on in the season ahead. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Cheers.
Brilliant stuff indeed. Mark Coyle there, speaking to Chris Ashmore on a wonderful start to his career for Coleraine, and very exciting times ahead with European football to come next season. Moving on to Gaelic games, and you probably know at this stage, fixture details have been confirmed for Donegal's trip to Kerry in round one of the All-Ireland Championship. The game will be played on Saturday the 23rd of May with a 3 p.m. throw-in at Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. The fixture will be behind a paywall and shown on GAA+. But you will, of course, get full match coverage and commentary from the game right here on Highland. And it is, of course, the tie of the round in the opening round of the All-Ireland Series. Now, an email has been sent to season ticket holders today. While tickets will go in general sale from next Monday the 11th from GAA Online or at the Centre and SuperValue stores. Also on that Saturday the 23rd, Cork will host Meath at 5:30, Galway take on Kildare at 7:30. And then on the Sunday, Tyrone will be playing at Dr. Hyde Park against Roscommon, and that game on the 24th throws in at 2 p.m. and that game will also be shown on GAA+. Now, looking ahead to the fixtures this weekend for the North West Counties, it is a big weekend. The Christy Ring and Nicky Racker still with a couple of series of matches to go. Wins will be important in the respective competitions for the North West sides. Donegal have a Saturday evening game against Roscommon. The game starts at 7 o'clock. This coming Saturday, the 9th of May, at the Donegal Park in Letterkenny. Donegal know if they can get a second one of the campaign, it will be very, very boostful, of course, towards their chances of staying in the competition for next year with one game to go against Meath. However, if they do lose on Saturday, they're going to be under real, real pressure. Derry are looking for their third one of the Christy Ring. They are going to Meath on Saturday afternoon. While in the Nicky Racker, Tyrone, who have not so much cruised through, but have won all their matches. They've played three, they've won three, and they're expected to win again against Fermanagh this coming Saturday, and that one starts at 2 o'clock in Garvahe. There is, of course, Donegal interest on the football front in other counties. Declan Boner is managing Fermanagh. They are starting their Talchin Cup campaign away to Longford on Saturday. Eamon McGee's part of the coaching staff in Sligo. They look to park their disappointing Connacht performance. They take on Galway in round one of the Talchin. And there will, of course, be lots of Donegal interest in London. They are on the road as they go to Waterford in round one of the Talchin Cup, that match on Sunday as well. The Gaelic Masters of Donegal are playing their first game of the year. The side, of course, last year went the whole way to the All-Ireland final. Can they repeat that feat in 2026? Well, the season starts on Saturday against Cavan. It's a home tie at Gaelic Park in Bundoran, and it starts at 1 o'clock. And there is a minor championship qualifier round two game taking place on Saturday. Donegal played down at the Donegal GAA Centre at 1:30. This was the game that was called off last week due to the torrential rain. And there's also a couple of Ulster games involving sides from the Northwest, in particular from Donegal. These are Ulster Club League fixtures. Junior Hurling Division 3 semi-final. Letterkenny Gaels are taking on Fionnbarra Naoife this coming Friday evening at the Oneg Derry GAA Centre. And then on Sunday, in the other semi-final, Dunloe are up against Ballinalec Art McMurtas GAC. That game's in Ballinalec. There's a 12 noon start. We could have an all Donegal final there. And Bird are looking to progress through to the Ulster Junior Hurling League Division 1 Cup final, but they are taking on Tyrone opposition on Sunday. The venue is in Birch, so they're going to be at home. They do have home advantage. Dungannon Own Ruhr will be the opposition there for the Donegal side. And in ladies football, it's Ulster Under 20 Football Championship time once again. Donegal are playing their second game of the competition. Downs the opposition on Saturday. Killigordon's the venue, starts at 2 o'clock. Donegal looking to make it 2-1s from two games, having comfortably beat Tyrone in their opening group match a number of weeks ago. So then, we go to motorsport. Callum Devine and Nolo Sullivan took a record-equalling 5-in-a-row Rally of the Lakes victory in Killarney last week. The win also sends them to the top of the Irish Tarmac Championship standings, and it also sets them up nicely for another charge at the Donegal International Rally next month, where the pair are looking to take an unprecedented 4-in-a-row Donegal wins. Joining me now on the programme is Callum Devine, the Derry driver, a man that we know very, very well. Callum, how you doing? Welcome along to the programme, Callum.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me back on, Oisin. So good to be back.
You've the feet up this week. Five Rally of the Lakes in Killarney in a row, Callum. You won last week, obviously, back down in County Kerry. Five consecutive ones, equaling the record of Bertie Fisher. You had a couple of days to digest that. That's a phenomenal achievement, Callum.
Aye, it is. It is, Oisin. I suppose it's you probably don't think of the records when you're competing. You're always looking for the next rally, but it's brilliant. Look, that record's been held, I think, since it got its fifth consecutive one. I think it was in 94, so I was only born in 94, so it's been a long time for that record to be matched. So it was brilliant. It was a brilliant to get it, but it's probably even a bit more special too for the likes of Noel. It sits on me. He's a Killarney man, and I think it was Paul Nagel was the first Killarney navigator before me, or before Noel, to win the rally with Craig Breen, and then after that it was Noel winning it for like the 5 years. So it's great to see a Killarney man win it, and as well Noel's family's big into the rally. His dad's done it, I think maybe even 40 plus years he's been doing it. He's a big supporter of it, so no, it was good. It was special for them, special now to get that ticked off for him as well. It's always a great event. It's a great event.
And listen, it's a great record to have as well. But you didn't have it all your own way. Eddie Doherty was given the full of it to you, so he was.
He definitely was. No, he wasn't hanging about, that's for sure. I think when we came into the weekend, we thought that was the event Eddie will be pushing on. He was always strong last year too in some of the stages. And then obviously this year, I think he put a big effort in to be competitive this year, as he mentioned. So, no, look, it was good. He definitely lifted his pace up a right bit since the last day out. So it's good, but too, for the championship as well, Oisin, as you know, it's I think there was three different winners up to that point. He was probably looking to make it four different winners in the four rounds. So it was very close to it. Thankfully for us, we held on for it.
And you sort of laid down the marker on Sunday in the first time up Moyles Gap. You like that stage, don't you?
I do. I think it's sort of getting to a bit of a racetrack stage, that one. Everybody's got their onboard from previous years, and it doesn't change that much, only maybe a few chicanes added in here and there. But it's just now our second pass up it now, to be honest. Now it was pretty pretty quick. I thought that I wouldn't want to be going much harder. It's always you're going hard when Noel says cheapers. He says you're going pretty hard on it, so when he's saying that, it must be going quick enough. So
yeah,
hard man to please sometimes.
Listen, you certainly were going hard up the gap, that's for sure. But so Callum, that win was your second in the championship, and you now move to the head of the standings as you head, of course, obviously for the next round, which we'll be talking about in just a few moments. So 2-1 in the Tarmac series, but you've also been dipping into the ERC this year, the European Rally Championship. You were away a number of weeks ago. What was that experience for you like?
Yeah, it was a good experience. I always wanted to try and compete at a European level as well, try and push myself. It was definitely a challenge, but a great event. It was definitely a bit of getting used to with setup wise when we went out there. Probably a wee bit of naivety in my own part. We probably went out and only did a quick organiser's test on the Tuesday, which the road was quite not so representative of the rally, but no, look, we got round it, made some improvements throughout the weekend, and yeah, we got to the finish and got some points on the board for that as well. So no, it was good, enjoyed the rally. It was nice, actually a lovely part of the country. So it was up in the mountains in Cordoba. It was about an hour and 45 minutes outside Malaga, so no, it was a nice rally, and hopefully we'll get to try a few more of them out before the end of the year. Yeah.
So it's in your schedule, I take it. You do want to go back to the European level this year?
I do, yeah. Hopefully we should be, our priority was obviously to do Killarney and Donegal this year, and it was to do more European, but we got kind of sucked into that Tarmac Championship, as I say, after the one in Galway, but... Yeah. Yeah, look, we plan to hopefully go to Rome now, which is in July, which will be after Donegal. So hopefully all been well. And yeah, the car's all in good shape after Donegal and stuff. So we'll yeah, hopefully go on to there. All been well.
Yeah, entries actually for Donegal close today. You have your entry in, don't you?
I had to send Susan a text one day just to make sure she got the payment. So no, it seems to be all good. So right, we're ready to rock.
You're not going to surprise us this year by any change of cars, because you've done that a couple of years ago. So you did, all of a sudden you just landed with a Fabia. There's nothing planned for this year, is there? You're sticking to what you have.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't want to be rushing something like that again. Yeah, that was pretty last minute. I think it was we were still testing. The testing option of a Polo and a Skoda on the, I think it was the Wednesday or the Thursday night before it. And yeah, no, I didn't want to be doing that again. So yeah, No, I'll be the same car. The Skoda will be again.
A car that's been very good to you, Callum. So now you're heading into Donegal. You emulated Manus Kelly, Cahill Curley, Billy Coleman, Andrew Nesbitt, who all won 3 in a row Donegal International Rallies. That's what you achieved last year. This year, you're looking to become the first man to do 4 in a row. I like talking about records, you don't. But what's your feeling now coming into to 2026, Callum? And obviously, it has to be good for yourself and Noel off the back of winning Killarney, which has been really, really good prep for it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's always been good the last couple of years of winning Killarney, because it's quite similar. It's quite high grip in places, and it's usually quite high speed, everything you'll get in Donegal on the June weekend. So it's always good prep, but yeah, as you know, and as probably everybody else knows, the pace in Donegal just gets that wee bit sharper. There's usually somebody that comes out of the woodwork, whether he's in the championship or outside the championship, to push for wins. And yeah, look, I know everybody wants to get points in the tarmac championship, but yeah, I always want to try and to win the rally, regardless of that. And yeah, we'll just try our best again. There's no doubt about that. We'll definitely try and put our best foot forward, and we add them and stuff. We'll get the car prepped as best we can, as we always do, and yeah, see what we can do in the weekend. But it's a long weekend. It's a long weekend, as you know. It's 3 days. It's a lot can happen in them. But it's getting faster and faster too. It's nearly flat out from the word go. There's no real pacing yourself in Donegal. It's as fast as you go, and how long can you keep it going for, more or less now, I think it's turning into.
You're not going to get too excited about it anyway, but like on reflection, last year, Callum, the Saturday afternoon loop, the last loop in particular, coming out off outside Rathmullen and Milford, everybody was biting at you. They were all biting at you, but then they all started to fall, and it was a prime example of that you have to do your own race in your own car and try and keep the noise out what's going on around you. Is that right?
It is, to be fair. Look, it was probably, last year was probably the most chuffed about me, the one in Donegal last year. As you say, there was a lot of guys there that was looking for a strong result and fighting for the podiums and that first place. So, no, it was good. As I say, I think after the first or second stage, we were leading, and then we just had to try and hold on to it throughout the weekend, which, yeah, that went well. But as you say too, you need to block out the noise over the rally weekend and just do your own thing and keep the head down and keep focusing on the next stage. I suppose it's the easiest way to do it. And yeah, as you say too, try and not get too excited about it too, because that can get in the way as well.
The fact too, on Friday, there's a big change. There's a big shift coming on the Friday here this year. They're heading down to the west of the county, down the likes of Gador and Fulcara, into stages that not a lot of people know. Now, there probably was bits used in a harvest along the way, but it's a very, very long time since they were used in an international. So it's going to make that day a lot more, the opening day a lot more interesting, is it?
Yeah, it does. Look, it's good what they do in Donegal, to be fair. They always try and change up the Friday, which I think it is a good job. But yeah, they always have great stages on wherever they go, if they go down a Schoenprenzel or if they go down that way, which I don't think we have been down that way. I think somebody mentioned maybe it was 2006 or 2005 or something the last time them stages were them used. So it's before my time and I started rallying.
You were only 10.
No, look, I was only 10. I was only a cub. So yeah, look, it's always good. Look, new stages, I think it is good to shake it up a bit. Definitely for new guys coming to the event as well. It's always good for new stages to kind of make it a bit more equal, a bit more fair, you know. But no, look, it'll be good. We'll definitely welcome it. It's we'll definitely look forward to it.
Yeah. And listen, we look forward to Donegal as well, and we look forward to you and Noel heading up the field with number one in the door, and we're expecting a really, really entertaining weekend. But listen, Callum, thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the week around the Northwest 200, and the very best to you and to Rachel. I know you have a big few weeks coming up, so the very best over the next few weeks as well, and we'll be talking to you soon in Donegal.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Much appreciated.
Now, to cricket, finally, just looking at fixtures this weekend. It's a big weekend for the Northwest sides because there is Irish Senior Cup games taking place. St Johnstone are in action. They are playing host to Merion on Saturday. New buildings welcome Railway Union. Dunamanor at home to Cliftonville and Brigade at home to Lisburn. The other sides are all away from home in the Irish Senior Cup. Brady go to Woodville, Coleraine go to Malahide, Fox Lodge on the road to Muckamore, and Strabane will go play CSNI. Moving into the National Cup, and Letterkenny are one of a number of sides on the road there. Big year for Letterkenny. First time in the senior ranks, of course. And it's the second time to play in the National Cup. They are off to County Galway. As for the rest of the sides, Eglinton are at home to Saintfield, Ballyspallan go to Armagh, Bons Glen at Sandyford, Glendermot at Nenagh, and three other sides have home advantage. Burndennet took on Temple Patrick, Killiecluny meet Terenure, and Ardmore are up against Civil Service. And that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly on our website, highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news with Chris Ashmore. So for me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of your Thursday, have a very, very good evening.